I'm here in Clondalkin and I'm talking to Tommy Keogh. Tommy, were the Keoghs always here in Clondalkin?
My grandfather, my father is from Clondalkin, my mother's from Terenure, and my father's parents are from Wicklow, Ballytarson, I believe, near Tinahaley. And I don't know where the grandmother was from, I think she was from Wicklow as well. So on the grandparents' side, they're Wicklow people. But my father was born in Clondalkin in 1901.
What was your grandfather's name?
His name was John Keogh.
And what brought him to Clondalkin?
Well, you won't believe this, Morris. I just joined a genealogy class last Thursday to answer that question. So I'm examining back beyond my grandparents now. I just started some research. Next week I'll be starting. In the library.
So you have no idea?
I have no idea why they came to Clondalkin. And I asked my brothers that the other day and they weren't able to tell me either.
But he settled anyway here.
He settled here.
And did he have a big family?
He had four boys and he had a very bad accident in the late 1880s. And he fell off a building at the paper mill. And he was crippled for life, and yet he lived until 1953. I think he was over 70, 78 when he died. But he was incapacitated from the waist down, and that man did the garden in our house, which was a huge big garden, on his knees. He did all the crops, potatoes, cabbage, rhubarb and everything. And he was in a wheelchair all his life. I believe the accident happened a year before the social welfare scheme came in, so he never got a penny in benefits from the country. But he was a great man.
What was he doing in the mills? And what time was he in there?
I think it was 1884 the accident happened. That's sad. I have that number in my head. I could be wrong, but it was in the 1880s.
Was extraordinary. So that's
he lived a long time ago. He had a very long life, and he operated in a wheelchair, and he was well able to get around. He had a horse and trap, and he was, as I said, a great gardener.
Oh, where was the family home then?
The family home in the early 1900s. They were down at the paper mill. My father was born in a house right opposite the entrance to the paper mill. It's one of the houses now which is part of the Round Tower project, which has been developed between the County Council and to develop the site into a monastic tourist attraction and a local, but he lived in a local amenity area with coffee shops, etc., etc. But he was born right at the mill gate, right opposite the mill gate. And I know he lived in cottages around the mill.
And why in such close proximity? Is it because the family worked in the mill, a lot of them?
I don't know where the grandfather didn't work after that, after he had the accident. Whether he worked in the mill at the time or not, because it was definitely a mill building that he fell off. It's now a set of apartments in Sally Park Lane. And they knocked it down when the developers came along and did all this building in 10 years ago or so, you know.
How many of your family then worked in the mills, including your father?
My father started there when it was reopened in 1937. He started there and he was more or less a labourer in the engineering department, and he was helping fitters and people like that. He then was promoted to, he got this job called the lagger. He was the mill lagger. He was the only one in the mill, which entailed lagging the pipes in the mill, and they were vast. As you know, the machine room and the paper mill was 200 or 300 yards long, but all the pipes in Clondalkin paper mills and in the boiler house and everywhere else was lagged by my father and his helper, Dan Kelly from Talla. They handled asbestos lagging material, and all they wore was gloves. I've never seen them wear any protective equipment. And yet, when the mill was being knocked down, I'll never forget it, the people who were knocking down the mill, they laid down their tools when they came across all the asbestos on the pipes. which my father and Dan Kelly had handled for years and years.
And did it affect him?
Never. You see, he had good skin and everything. There was no effect on either of them. He lived until he was 96.
What was your father's name?
Joe Keogh.
And who did Joe marry now, your mother?
He married Annie Cummins from Terenure. And they lived in, I think he was married in 1932. They lived in Convent View Cottages, which is on the Boot Road, up towards the Green Isle Hotel there.
Did he buy that house?
He eventually bought it. He didn't buy it until very late in life, you know. They weren't available to buy it, I don't think, at the beginning, Morris.
Yeah. It was... Who was the landlord?
The county council houses they were.
Oh, were they?
In Clondalkin at around, I'd say it was the 1910s or 20s, there were several schemes of county council houses built in Clondalkin. I just don't have the dates in my head now. There was the houses at St. Bridget's Cottages. They're all similar type houses. Then they're in Knockmeenock Lane and they're in Boo Road at Convent View.
All right, now that was your father. And who else? What other members of the family worked there from that generation?
My sister worked there. My sister was worked in the shipping office with Mr. Casey. And she worked probably for 15 years there. And
your sister's name was?
My sister was Marie.
Yeah.
And my brother Kevin, he worked in the stores. He was a stores assistant. He worked there for a number of years. I think between the four of us, I counted 86 years service to the paper mills. My father, even when he retired at 65, he came back. He was re-employed as a security man, a watchman. Mm. And he worked there until he was 72. And he just gave up then. He retired himself again.
The association with your family, the Keoghs, and working there is huge.
Oh, yeah. Huge contribution to the mill.
What did you go in
there? We weren't unique in that. Yes. There were many, many other families in Clondalkin who gave similar service to the paper mills. The parents and the children, they would have accumulated 80, maybe to 100 years between some of them.
Yeah. And so, tell me about yourself then.
I started in the mill. I went to school in James Street, CBS in James Street, and I left. And my father arranged an interview with Mr. Cusick, and I had an interview. And I started immediately after I left work. The next week after I left school, in June '56, and I started in the mill the following Monday. I was there temporary as a clerk in the office at £2.10 a week. Myself and Niall Staunton were taken on as temporary clerks. And at the end of the summer, Niall went back to school. He was 1 year behind me. He was only in fifth year in James's. And Niall went back to school. And I was employed fully then in the accounts department.
And this was 1956?
56, yeah.
What was it like? What was the clerk's office like?
Well, the accounts office, it was very reserved, I suppose, compared with today, and probably old-fashioned compared with the modern equipment that are there now. There was a lot of writing up ledgers and recording the post in the morning. You have to write up maybe 200 invoices would come in. They would all have to be manually written up into a book and recorded. And the same with cheques and payments coming in. Everything was manually written by hand. Right. So there was a lot of fighting attached to being in the accounts department. I moved on to the wages office then after a number of years. And when the man in charge of the wages was Mr. Paddy Johnson, he was there for many years. And when Mr. Johnson, he moved, I was appointed payroll manager there of the Clondalkin paper mills.
So what was, you must have known every person.
Well, I did.
First name terms? Or?
Well, mostly I knew them by numbers. Because when they came up to the window to collect their money, they weren't Liam Stone. It was 3181 or whatever his number was. Or Eamon Tully, 3090. You know, yes. And I met a fellow.
Would you get to know these numbers?
Well, I still retain We met John O'Keefe yesterday, and he asked me his number last night in the Mill Social Club. I told him it was 3295, and spot on.
And so you
know, I'm a numbers man. Yeah, well, numbers were very important. It was all done by numbers. We were only a number. At the end of the day, we're only a number.
And in the pay office, I mean, was it cash, and was it put into an envelope?
Well, there's a bit of a story attached to that. It all was cash. It was cash until the wages were robbed. There was a robbery there one Friday. I wasn't Mr. Johnson, Paddy Johnson. He crossed the road from the office with all the pay packets in a big box, and went down to the canteen at 3:30 every Friday, and the men would queue up and collect their money. This particular Friday, they were robbed by 3 or 4 men in Ballyclavis, and they got away with, I think it was about 37,000, which was a lot of money in those days, you know. But within a short time, we changed over to cheques, and they were allowed to go up to the bank to cash the cheques. They were given some concession.
Were you there?
I wasn't there at the robbery. I was in the main office, and yeah. Mr. Johnson crossed the road with the money. But I was, I used to deliver the salaries, yeah, as distinct from the payroll for the mill workers. I did the staff who didn't clock in. So I was probably on my rounds. I went around with a box to the laboratory, to the drying office, to porching, all the way around the mill. I had a bit of a tour every Friday. That was, I looked after the salaries.
Yeah. And so they look forward to you coming, I would imagine.
Oh, they would, yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely, yes, every
what
Friday.
What kind of wages were, how much was it in those days?
I can't remember the amounts per year or that. But I remember that the labourers' rate, I don't know what year it was, they were only around sort of £10.
Yeah.
£10, 9 and 7 or something like that. And where the fitters then would be on maybe £15 compared with them. They were on a much higher scale than the unskilled workers, for want of a better word. And then there were various grades in the paper mill. There were machine men and assistant machine men, and the machine men had the highest wage of the operators on the shift work. For being on shift as well, you had, I think it was 1/3 extra or 25% on top of the day rate. That's the way it worked, I think. I think it was 25%.
Did that cause any bit of, did people feel uncomfortable, you know, that they may be getting a little bit less than the person just above them? Or?
No, I never felt that happened. Yeah. I think most people were happy in their work in Clondalkin Paper Mills and happy with what they were doing. Okay, some guys probably had ambitions to be higher up the ladder, maybe, for want of a better word, you know. But generally, they were happy. There was a good team effort.
Were the staff, the office staff which would be you?
They were happy because there was no question of even a union being brought on tap until, I think a union only came in the late 70s, you know.
Really?
70, yes. Sometime in the 70s. There was no grounds for looking for a union. They were all very happy down there. It was a great place to work.
And how did the unions come in? I mean, did they look for people to join up? Or?
Well, I don't know how it started. It may have been an issue in a particular office that triggered the formation of an office, of an office union to be formed. And it started off in one section, I believe. I don't know much about it, but it was probably an issue in one department, maybe, that because with the whole mill being unionised, it would be very easy to get advice from other people who are in unions, who would be working around near you all the time. So it did start, but there was never any conflict. There was never any union. There was never any strike among the office staff or anything like that, you know. And like during the strike in the 60s, the big strike in 66, we were all in there working. We were in there working, and you know, the work was, workload wasn't the same if the mill workers weren't there.
And when you passed the picket line, then were you?
We did, yeah. We were not in any union. We passed the picket line. Yeah.
And would people? That was recognised. Would people cheer at you?
No. There was never any conflict like that. Never any conflict about that.
And
well, don't forget, that was 1966.
Yes, it was indeed. Yeah. And was there any of your siblings there at the same time as you?
Well, my dad was there. He was on strike. He was in the mill, yeah. Kevin or Marie, no, they weren't there in 66, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they weren't, no.
And, I mean, would your dad come up to you and then, was there,
no,
was there a discussion about this?
Well, there was. It was a big issue, that strike. As you know, it started over this four-shift operation, which didn't concern him because he was a day worker anyway.
Mm.
And the issue only concerned really the papermakers. They wanted the machines to go on this four-shift work. And so there would have been a lot of people would be very, very upset that they were out of a job because of somebody else's problem, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And just in the wages, was there a time when you ran out of money, or that there wasn't enough money to cover wages? I mean,
no, there was never anything like that, except the day we were robbed. We had to get money real quick, the next week or so. Yeah. It happened on a Friday, you know.
But it was a guaranteed.
It was an IRA. It was supposed to be an IRA operation.
Was it?
It was. Yeah, it was during those troubled 70s. But there was never anybody charged for it.